cherries and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things.
I walked in town on silver spurs, the jingle too, a song that I had only sang to just a few. She saw my silver spurs and said, let's pass some time, and I will give to you summer wine.
Oh, summer vinyl.
Your station, your voice.
Palestine is not just the land of the Muslims. It's the land of three people and all people. The land of the Muslims, the land of the Christians, and the land of the Jews who are decent and not Zionist Jews. When we say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, that does not mean that we are going to get rid of the Jews from that land. We are saying there's going to be one state of Palestine, the historic Palestine, where the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims can live side by side peacefully.
Greasy Art, your station, your voice.
Gums are swaying along the road to Gundagai. There's a track winding back to an old-fashioned shack along the road to Gundagai, where the blue gums are growing and the marun pidgeys flowing beneath that sunny sky.
Welcome to Summer Vinyl. My name's John A. Tate. This is my last one for the summer series. Imitating a Nightingale will be back next week. Next week. And I've spoken to her and Anna Lee, and she's got lots of stuff prepared, so raring to go. But this is totally different. This is Summer Vinyl. We'll play a little bit of vinyl, but I've got a special guest in who might even sing us a live song or two, and his name is Graham Howie. Thought I'd better give you a mic before I introduce you, Graham.
Yeah, John, great to be here.
And, well, it's good to have you here. I've known you for a little while, and I've been dying to get you in to do something. But our normal show is a sporting show on Thursday, the Sporting Record. I was going to do my little promo for that, but I'll do that later. But I have played one of your songs on our sporting show.
Yes.
The one about the cricketer, Fleetwood Smith. What was his first name? I think it was Mick Fleetwood Smith.
I call him Mr. Fleetwood Smith.
Yeah, because he's a hyphenated name, surname, isn't he?
Yes, that's right. I think Mick, that's what they all call it, I think. But he was very similar to Shane Warne, wasn't he? He could sort of turn a match. Yeah. On his day.
Back in the day, who did he play with? Did he play with the Bradman era, or was it...
I think it might have been
perhaps
a little bit after. He was a really good-looking fella. The women loved him, but sadly he became a vagrant and lived on the streets in Melbourne. And some of the other Test cricketers tell stories of passing him in the street, and he was like a hobo eating out of the bins.
Yeah.
And they said, "Is that you, Mick?" And, you know, they couldn't believe it. But and you sleep under bridges, you know.
So a great story for a song. And when we looked into it, see, we're here in the studios at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy, 855 3CR, and I think he passed away maybe in St Vincent's, just down the road from here.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
So it's it was a good local story, and I was, because I said to you, not expecting an answer, I said, "Oh, you got any sports songs?" And you had one.
Yeah.
So that's where we got to play that.
That's right.
All right. So, but anyway, let me say, before we get started, this program's coming from the land of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people from the Kulin Nation. Mm-hmm. And we pay our respects to their elders, emerging and past and future.
Yep.
And just need to acknowledge that before we start.
Mm.
So, let's go back to the beginning here. You're one half of the Howie brothers.
Exactly right.
You're the only one I know of the Howie brothers.
You haven't met the twin brother.
I haven't met your brother, no.
No, well, we're identical twins, and we're 75 years old in December this year.
Well, you didn't have to tell me that, but it's good to know.
We always loved music and always loved harmony singing. Mum and Dad used to always tell us stories that when we were 4 or 5 or 6, we'd be singing songs like Daisy, Daisy. One of us would be doing that and the other would be going, Daisy, Daisy, doing the tenor part.
When you were little kids.
When we were little kids. And Dad apparently went into the kitchen on the farm, the dairy farm up there in Warrigal, and said, "Oh, the wee laddies," because Dad was Scotch. He said, "The wee laddies, they're singing the same song, but they're singing different." And Mum said, "Oh, one must be doing it. Sing me what you did, boys, you know." And one of us went, "Daisy, Daisy." And the other one, "Daisy, Daisy." "Oh, they're singing in harmony, Bob," she said to my dad.
And no one taught you that. It just came naturally. It just sounded good and you did it.
Yeah, I think so. I've got 5 grandkids, and little Arthur, my wife and I look after him every Monday and Tuesday, and he'll sing all the way from my place in Gardenvale to Carnegie. He loves it the moment. He loves Faire Jacques, Faire, the French song.
Yes, I know.
And he'll sing it all the way.
Have you got other brothers and sisters, or is it just you two?
Yeah, there were 5 of us. An older brother who's passed on a couple of years ago. He kept running the dairy farm. Me and my twin brother didn't really want to do that. We just wanted to do the music and became secondary school music teachers for 30 years. But he ran the dairy farms up in near Denison, ran Hayfield and Traralgon. A couple of sisters. So he was the farmer was the oldest one. Then came the twins, that's me and my twin brother. Then a sister, Margaret, and another sister, Jenny, who lives in Brisbane. And she also did the music degree and became a secondary school teacher. So out of the 5 kids, 3 of us sort of had music as our living.
Now, I've probably told a bit of a lie. I might have met your brother. Because my wife and I did a really good little trip to South Australia. This was several years ago, before I had actually met you.
Mm.
And it was a little paddle steamer trip on the Murray.
Oh, that's
in and out of Mannum.
Oh, that
in
sounds
South
like
Australia.
Him.
And yeah, there was a guy on board who was sort of the entertainment coordinator, I suppose you'd say. He sang a few songs and he ran the trivia and he'd just help people on and off the boat because there are many stops and help with the barbecue. It was just a bit of everything. And when I look back, he did look a bit like you.
Yeah, it might have been him.
And it might have been him. That's the sort of stuff he does.
Well, he does take tour groups on. Oh, no, he does do the Murray River Cruises and he'll take a group of people that love music. You know, there might be 30 or 40 or 50 people in the group. And they join the rest of the people on the ship, Could have been him.
Yeah. So 2 weeks ago I had Greg Champion in here doing the same thing. I would say he didn't bring any records like you have, but he said, oh, I've got seven songs. So I wasn't going to say, no, you can't sing them all. So he did four of his originals.
Yeah.
And I said to him, no, we won't do your sports songs, no footy songs, no cricket songs, just your songs, you know, your nice country folky songs.
Yeah.
And he sang four that I've never heard before, and they were beautiful.
Wow.
Right there where you're sitting.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about the easy beats in between songs. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll do a cover. I'll do an easy beat song for you.
Gee.
And it was one that would know what he said, no one will know this except for you, because I wrote a book on the easy beats. And it was beautiful. It's called I Love Marie. And it was just a demo from their last album. And Harry Vander was singing, and Greg did a beautiful job.
Wow, that's very good.
He's up at Tamworth now, probably with your brother.
Possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think he's done several tours with John.
Yeah, that's right. As the guest artist,
right. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, he's still going, still playing live, and still...
Good.
I think he enjoys, because Could Have Been's are finished, so I think he enjoys coming in and doing a few things on the radio. Yeah, so whenever I ask him, he's there, he comes in.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, good.
Now, we just played to start us off while we were getting organised, the Gundagai song, All Along the Road to Gundagai.
Yep.
Why did you suggest that one?
Righto. Well, when we were younger, we had a band called 1901. 1901.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd written a whole lot, the five of us in the band. And we wrote a whole lot of names for bands down, and the wife of the pedal steel guitar player, John Bertram, not the yachting guy, she had a look at the list and she said, that's the one, it stands out. And 1901, we loved that era. We probably went for about 5 or 6 years, and we won 3 golden guitars, and that song...
As that band, yeah?
As that band.
Wow.
And that particular one, I think, was either Album of the Year or Harmony Group of the Year in about 1980 up in Tamworth. And, we just thought... we actually used to go around and see Jack O'Hagan, who wrote On the Road to Gundagai. And we loved talking to him, you know, and he'd tell us where he got the idea for Where the Dog Sits on the Tucker Box and all these great songs. Yeah, Our Don Bradman, he wrote. And we'd sit there and talk to him till 11 o'clock at night, you know. And we just thought, gee, wouldn't that be use 30 seconds? And we had to apply to the powers that be to use those 30 seconds because it was owned by someone. And then just a cymbal hit and then into... there's a scene that lingers in my memory, you know, the song.
Yeah.
And we just put all our harmonies to it because we love bluegrass music. So we were sort of always trying to put 3 or 4 part harmony in lots of songs. So that was from about the 1979-1980 era.
Right. Well, so I've into the other CD player, I've put this song, House Where the Wind Blows Cold. So why have you brought that one out?
Right. Well, that particular song, we were lucky enough to win the Best New Talent Award up in Tamworth. So in 1979, we'd just started making records, and that was our first record, our first album, and written by a Tasmanian fella who's now gone to heaven, Merv Gleeson, and a beautiful song, and a lovely ballad, but lent itself to beautiful harmonies. And in that 1901 band, as soon as we got together at a bit of a party, we realised that the piano, like honky-tonk piano, pedal steel guitar, some people call it Hawaiian steel guitar, guitar, mouth organ, mouth harp, played blues style, and double bass. Were just a fantastic set of instruments with the bluegrass harmonies. So that this particular album that you're going to play the track off, it was called An Old-Fashioned Country Way of Singing.
Yeah.
That was the first album that 1901 made, and it was a bit of a bluegrass feel and a bit of a colonial type feel.
Well, you're all wearing denim on the cover.
We're all young.
There's a good-looking guy playing stand-up bass.
Yeah, that's Robbie Edge.
There's two guys here playing guitar.
Yeah.
Is that you two?
That would probably be me and twin brother John, maybe.
One of you's got long hair.
Yeah, we did around that era. We'd just come out of uni and yeah, we had really long hair.
And there's a guy playing banjo.
Yeah, that's Mike Riley, who was a teacher that I met. We were both secondary school teachers at Monash High, and he'd come over from America.
Ah.
So he was the one who got me half interested in bluegrass music.
Yeah.
And we'd sing at school, you know, to the staff. At lunchtime, we'd get our guitars and, have a great
session.
And there's
a tall, lanky guy. Looks like he's playing mandolin or something.
Yeah. Actually, I think that might be twin brother John.
Oh, okay. That's mandolin. Him over there. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've never.
Yeah, we look a bit like a colonial group in that, you know, like a bush band, don't we?
Yeah, that's right.
In the picture.
Oh, let's hear it, eh? What's it called again?
It's called House Where the Wind Blows Cold, written by Merv Gleason from Tasmania. And we just, as soon as we heard the song, we thought, wow, that's a good song.
House where the wind blows cold.
Dum da 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 dum da 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 boom 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 boom. Hi, I'm Rod Quantock, and you're listening to Fill in the Dots. You know who you're listening to. Why do I have to tell you who you're listening to? You know who you're listening to. You're listening to, yes, Fill in the 3CR Community Radio. You got it right. You've won a giraffe. We're at 8:55 a.m. We're on digital radio and streaming at 3cr.org.au. 3CR has been making trouble since 1976, and occasionally I've been part of the trouble that's been made. It's a vital part of our media landscape, and I'd encourage you to get a hacksaw, an oxyacetylene torch, and go up to the Dandenongs and bring down all those broadcast towers that aren't 3CR's towers. And let's make 3CR the only source of information to an information-starved, dumbed-down Australian community. Written, authorised and spoken by Neil Mitchell.
So that's Rod Quantock causing a bit of mischief. So don't do that to the towers. I'm actually heading down to Hoppers Crossing tomorrow, or Werribee Hoppers Crossing, because that's where our tower is, 3CR's tower. And I think it's become a bit overgrown with weeds and trees and things, so we're going to do a working bee down there.
Oh, good.
So I was happy to volunteer because I've never been down there to that particular thing.
Good, good.
You see? When I do training here, I tell our trainees, I hear the transmission tower's down at Hoppers Crossing and we own the land and, you know.
Gee.
But I've never been there, so I'll be able to say it with more confidence after I've been there once. But one thing Rod Quantock did say that was true was 1976 we got our licence and started broadcasting, not from this building, but from another building not all that far away. So this is 2026, so it's our 50th year.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, happy birthday to us.
Are they
going to
have a party, do you think?
Oh, well, they've got things planned. I'm not on the committee, so I'll just do what I'm told. So, but that'll be cool. Now, this show's called Summer Vinyl, and I haven't played vinyl every week, but this week you brought some along, so I asked you to bring some along, some things, certainly some CDs of yours, and, 1901, I didn't know you were in that band, and but some, you know, records that may have inspired you and your brother back in the day, or things that you still listen to today. So we've queued one up. What is it?
Righto. So this is a New Zealand band called the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band. And when I was twin brother John and myself, when we were doing the music degrees at Melbourne Uni at the Conservatorium, you'd wander over to the central part of the uni, and quite often they had music. And I was amazed that here's this bluegrass band from New Zealand playing, and I just couldn't believe how good they were. You
know? Uni life was great, wasn't it, for that sort of thing? There was always something going on there in the union area, the union building, or outside
it. Yeah. So, you know, the fiddle was in full swing. Colleen Trenwith was playing the fiddle, and her husband, Paul Trenwith, was playing banjo, and they were what I would call world class, and the harmonies were so good. They were singing in bluegrass harmonies, and so I sat there and watched the whole thing, and I think I was going heading back to the college, and I said, no, I'm going straight into the city to buy that album that they were spruiking about, which was called Kersbrook Cottage. And the story was that they'd come over to Australia, I think, perhaps to back Slim Dusty for about 3 or 4 years. But while they were here, they released a few albums, including this one called Kersbrook Cottage. And I think, if I'm right, a guy from Adelaide wrote this particular song we're going to play. And I think it's probably a good example of how good they were. I still love them, and I've probably got 11 or 12 of their albums in my collection.
So it's the title track, Kersbrook Cottage.
It is.
That's all we've queued up. Now, it's a vinyl show, so we're playing vinyl. There's always a bit of crackle involved. This one's got a few. You've obviously played it a lot, Graham.
You can tell I love this album.
So be patient if there's a little crackle and a bit of a jump here and there. I played a bit of it just through my headphones, and it seemed to be tracking all right.
We did notice a little thing.
But if it's not, we can I don't know, play Rod Quantock again or something. Okay. Let's just see how it goes.
Oh, yeah.
they put their own mattress on the floor. Then they go back to the other side of One Tree Hill. Early morning ruckus in the gum trees wakes you up no matter what the day. Monday's just a weekday Sunday from this side of One Tree Hill. Kersbrook Cottage faded green, lying here among the trees. Soon the hills will be burnt dark brown, fire towers falling down. Sunset's good for almost half an hour, purple gray then evening's here again. Life is pleasantly suspended on this side of One Tree Hill. Kersbrook Cottage faded lights. Soon the hills will be burnt dark brown, fire towers falling down. They put their own mattress on the floor. Then they go back to the other side of One Tree Hill. Kersbrook Cottage faded green, lying here among the trees.
Lest we forget, join us to commemorate the 184th anniversary of the execution of the two Indigenous freedom fighters, Tunaminaway and Morbohina, the first men hung in Victoria for resisting white colonisation.
This is a story of colonisation. It's a story that's been told before.
It's the Tuesday, the 25th of January at midday, at the Tunaminaway and Morbohina Monument at the corner of Victoria and Franklin Street in Melbourne. The ceremony will be broadcast live on Community Radio 3CR. At 1 p.m. after the broadcast, we'll be walking down the Queen Victoria Market to what we believe is their burial site, where the ceremony will continue for another hour. Please bring flowers to the event.
You're listening to 3CR, an apartheid-free zone. 3CR's Committee of Management has passed a declaration formalising our commitment to a free Palestine. As an apartheid-free zone, we're committed to boycotting Israel's regime of oppression. We stand firmly against apartheid in Palestine and encourage other organisations to join us in this struggle. Visit our website to read the full declaration and learn more about our commitment to justice and liberation for Palestine and the Apartheid Free Zone movement.
Well, we got through Kerswood Cottage without any major disasters. Now, that's just to prove to listeners that we're actually playing some vinyl records.
Yeah, well, I think what's happened there, John, is that I've probably been so excited at home listening to that, and probably with my kids, and we've been stomping away.
Jumping around,
having a good time, and there we go.
It's a great song, and it sounds like a great band, don't they? Beautiful players.
And they're still playing, you know.
Yeah.
I was over in New Zealand about a year or so ago, and I ran into him in a music shop and I said, "You still play?" He said, "Graham, what are you doing on Saturday night?" And the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band were playing in a restaurant up in the Coromandel Peninsula, the top northeast corner of the North Island. And me and my wife, we had a great time. They're still fantastic.
I've just come back from New Zealand. Friday we flew back in.
Right.
We were riding the trains.
Oh, wow.
So I told you about my son. He's built a recording studio garage. Yeah. So he said to us, I'm recording a couple of bands next in this particular week. He said, it'd be good if you went away somewhere.
he kicked you out.
Yeah. I said, all right then. So I thought, I've been wanting to do it for a while, to travel the trains in New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
The Transalpine one's the famous one from Christchurch across to Greymouth. So that's what we did on Thursday. We just went over and back.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, very good.
And then, but to get there, I mucked it up a bit. But anyway, we caught a bus from Auckland down to Wellington.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a nightmare because the train wasn't running. Oh. See, I'd booked me flights before I booked the train.
Yep.
And then I found out, it's not running on that Monday. Mm. Far out. So we had to get the bus down. Yeah. So the scenery was nice, but it was a long 13-hour bus trip down there. But anyway. But the ferry across, have you caught the ferry across?
And it can be rough, Strait. But what was it like for you?
Wasn't rough, but my God, it's beautiful.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You can see when you come into the north of the South Island, there's a beautiful wineries up there, isn't there?
Yeah.
In that top north bit.
And they call it the Marlborough Sounds or something.
That's it.
And they really are sounds.
Yeah.
Whereas the Milford Sound, they're fjords. They got Captain Cook named them all wrong. Mm. But the Marlborough Sounds really are sounds, which sort of flooded rivers, aren't they?
They were ancient rivers,
and the seawater's coming. Yep. Anyway, they're beautiful, both beautiful.
Yep.
Anyway, that's where we've come back from.
Yeah.
How do we get onto that?
So, the New Zealand, with the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band from New Zealand we're talking about.
And you saw them there. That was great.
Yeah, and, you think about how many... For the population of New Zealand, there's been so many great musicians.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the country music field, there's a lady, Patsy Rigger. Now, I don't know whether you're familiar with her, John.
I've seen her albums around.
Yeah, and she would have won Golden Guitars around about the mid-80s, I think. And we used to back her in town.
She was a Kiwi.
She was a Kiwi. And,
didn't know that.
I couldn't believe how good she was. And
I assumed she was American.
Yeah, and she still holds the record at the Grand Ole Opry. I mean, they thought she was so good that I think they gave us 7 encores during this live radio taping. And but she gave it away for a while. But I hear she's back singing again. So a bit of wonderful. If you ever see a Patsy Rigger album, grab it.
Yeah. Well, I've had them. As you know, I had a record shop in Essendon.
Yep.
And I still dabble a little bit buying and selling, but pretty much retired. Would you call yourself retired these days?
Well, no. I'm still performing.
You don't teach anymore.
No, I don't teach, but I love playing. I think I think I can do it till I head off occasionally and do 26 gigs in a row from Melbourne to Bundaberg and back, playing almost every day.
But by yourself?
By myself.
What about you and your brother? Do you do gigs together sometimes?
Yeah, but he's so heavily entrenched in these tours that he runs, the music tours. But, we still do the odd gig and we still love each other. We haven't sort of got to the stage of it. But, it's harder to get him nowadays, but still love music.
So did you do some music travel tours with him?
Yes.
What have you done?
I've done lots of cruises. We performed on the QE2. That's the old QE2, around Tahiti.
Yeah.
And so I think he had a tour group with about 250 people, so we had private shows.
Bloody hell.
As well as doing other gigs out on the decks and all that sort of thing,
They work you hard on a cruise ship.
They do. And I've done many a trip with him, but nowadays I don't as much do them. But sometimes he's got people like Adam Harvey and Becky Cole as feature artists, and I think our good friend, Greg Champion.
Yeah, I love Becky Cole. I think she's hilarious.
She's funny.
Really good, but she's funny too. Oh, you know?
Great comedian.
Yeah. So her whole stage act is just great.
Terrific. Yep.
Because we went down to the Queenscliff Music Festival a few years ago, right? And we're sitting in the big tent waiting for somebody. And Becky Cole was coming on with, country singer. But we loved her. We thought she was great.
Oh, she does great impersonations, doesn't she?
Yeah.
The Dolly Parton type things. And
And she was saying, you know, she was offered to go to the States and do stuff and record and sing. And the A&R guy said something about, you know, we want you to do this. She said, you know, I can't remember the context, but she said, you know, ah, yeah, we love teeth and tits.
The AR guy said that.
So I think that put her off. She thought, I'm not working for you.
He thought he was having a go at Becky.
Yeah,
but she's a great comedian. We've done many shows with her, and I've been had tears rolling down my cheeks with when she gets going.
Anyway, so there you go.
Yeah.
What have we queued up? I've got no idea. I've got CDs in front of me here. We've got Dunny Doo, but we put something else in before that, didn't we?
Yeah. Do we?
Oh, John Durack.
John Durack.
So I asked you, right, you obviously cover a lot of public domain songs.
Yep.
And traditional Australian stuff.
Yep.
And other songs that you just like the sound of and you think you could do a good job with.
Yeah.
What about original stuff? What percentage of covers, originals, would you?
Well, we've been fairly prolific songwriting wise on our albums. Some of the albums have got mostly Howie Brothers type material on them, but some haven't. And over the years, we've done about 50 albums, the Howie Brothers, and some of them were sing along with the Howie Brothers. You know, we were great friends with Keith McGowan on 3RW, and he would spruik, and we'd get 1,000 people into Mooney Ponds Town Hall.
Yeah.
And we'd record these with all the songs like When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. we love songwriting.
Were you a Lennon and McCartney, or you actually wrote them together?
Never written a song together. My twin brother and myself, we've never written a song together.
So when you put the writing credit, is it the Howie Brothers or is it
No, it's usually
Graham Howie.
If John Howie writes it, it's John Howie.
Yeah,
and he's got his own publishing company, Calderwood Records. And if it's me, it's Graham Howie, Glen Ample Records, you know. But that's healthy, I think. When you're an identical twin, I've seen many that stick together right through their lives, and they, like the Lagarde twins, who were sort of early pioneers in the country. You'd see them at a festival and they always walk around together. John and I are the opposite. We're a bit like Steve Waugh and Mark Waugh. We'll finish a gig and John will go that way and I'll go the other way, but we still love each other. So I think it's quite healthy to be writing. We've just never had the yen to want to write together, if you know what I mean. You know, if it's an idea he's come up with, he flies with it and said, what do you think of this, Graham, you know? And I say, yeah, that's not bad, John. Or, might need a bit more work.
Yeah.
But we're great mates with Smokey Dawson. Quite sure. Now, Smokey Dawson was a great fella. He lived to about 94, I think, but his wife, Dottie, I think, got to about 107. And we became friends with Smokey because we loved a song that he had written years ago that was on a 78 called My Heart Is Where the Roper Flows Tonight. And we told Smokey up at Tamworth, Smokey, we love the Roper River. And he said, come back to our motel and I'll sing you some songs. And he sang us these songs. He was just sitting on the bed with his guitar and Dottie put the kettle on. And made some sandwiches, and we were great friends from then on. And he sang us that particular first meeting we had with Smokey. He said, here's a new song that I've just written called John Durack.
Yeah.
And I remember him sitting there playing this song, and I said, Smokey, how good is that? You know, about herding 8,000 head of cattle across the top of Australia, you know.
And was John Durack a real person or a fictional character?
No, John Durack was a real person, and you would have heard of Mary Durack and the Duracks, the famous Duracks.
Yeah.
They're descended from the Duracks who herded the first lot of cattle across the top end of Australia from Queensland. And some of the cattle, you know, in the rivers, they got the poor old cattle got killed by the crocodiles, you know, because it was groundbreaking things what they did. But they realised that over in the top of Western Australia, there's a fantastic farming country, and they made a lot of money out of it because they were in there first, taking cattle across Australia. If I don't know whether we're going to play that one, John.
Yeah, we'll do that now.
And
while we're doing that, I'll get you to get your guitar out.
Yep.
And
I'm going to play a chord, and
we'll do something live. Yeah. You don't have to, you know. We're not spruking you as a guitar virtuoso, especially with it when you cut your finger. But anyway, well, I want to do that before we run out of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good thinking.
His name, a poor but honest parents, he was born in Castlemaine. He was his father's only hope, his mother's only joy. The pride of both his parents was the wild colonial boy. He was barely 16 years of age when he left his father's home.
I'll sing you a song of the far northwest in the days when the land was young and the Durak started out overland to the Ord River run. There was John, Michael, Jerry and Patsy too. They were leaders brave and true. And many other names I could mention from the Cooper and the old Baku. John Durak, he never turned back. He blazed the trail to glory and he praised the Lord when he found the river. With enough for the hungry years, with a mighty herd of cattle rode those gallant pioneers. The ringers and the drovers pushed them on in a steady moving line, with the women and the children in the wagons close behind. John Durak, he never turned back. He blazed a trail to glory and he praised the Lord. They rode on by with their heads held high that left no room for doubt. There was many a night when the cattle ran in fright before the storms, and the lightning flashed like the devil's fork and danced along their horns. John Durak, he never turned back. He blazed a trail to glory and he praised the Lord when he found the river on. With joyful hearts and eyes agleam, they reached that mighty Ord. For they knew at last they'd found their dream, and they gave thanks to the Lord. John Durak, he never turned back. He blazed a trail to glory, and he praised the Lord when he found the river Ord. In the great Northwest Territory, in the far Northwest Territory, and he praised the Lord when he
us stay radical. Become a regular donor to 3CR. A regular donor is someone who loves 3CR so much that they set up an automatic donation to 3CR on the same day every month. 3CR is determined to stay independent. This means we don't rely on corporate sponsorship or government funding. We serve our community, not corporate interests. But this also means we do rely on people like you to keep the station running. From paying the bills to maintaining our studios to training the next generation of community broadcasters, 3CR relies on community donations to survive. By becoming a regular donor, you can help us stay resilient and radical. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au.
Help 3CR raise funds by donating your containers. Every eligible drink container that you return to a container deposit scheme recycling point earns 10 cents, which can really add up. 3CR is a donation partner for Victoria's Container Deposit Scheme. The scheme allows you to recycle selected aluminium, glass, or plastic containers and donate the funds earned to a not-for-profit organisation of your choice. Help us raise funds for the station. Search for Community Radio and choose 3CR next time you cash in your cans. Go to cdsvic.org.au for more information.
I told you this would be fun, didn't I?
That's good fun.
Hey. So if we're to back announce what we've just done, John Durack,
yes,
was the song we wanted and we mm-hmm. talked about and we introduced.
Yep.
And we got a little bit of the Wild Colonial Boy just to ease us into John Durack.
Just to get us into the feel.
Who was nothing like the Wild Colonial Boy. But good song, just the same. I liked it. I'm glad you.
Well, Smokey Dawson wrote that one. But
when we
heard Smokey sing it, probably around about 1979 up in Tamworth, we thought, oh yeah, that's a good song. And we were great friends with Smokey for many years. And Smokey had the biggest radio show in Australia in 1951, 52 and 53, called The Adventures of Smokey Dawson, about a sort of a dreamed-up cowboy village, Jindawarra Bell.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had great stories to tell, but they were just lovely people. I'd sit there for hours and talk to Smokey and Dot. They knew everyone in the music game.
I bet they did.
And they were just beautiful people, you know. They'd lived so much of life. Yeah, Smokey, he was a prisoner of war. It's Singapore, but he wasn't actually a soldier. He was in the entertainment corps and he doubled as a stretcher bearer.
Oh, yeah.
But he told me amazing stories, you know, and he was very lucky to survive, you know. He once showed me a photo of him being brought down the gangplank of the ship back into Australia after he'd been released. And it was
like a skeleton.
Yeah, just a skeleton with the skin going between his ribs.
Oh, man.
And I said, how did you survive, Smokey, you know? And he said, well, Graham, I love Dottie.
Yeah,
and he said Dottie came and saw, he was in. It took him 2 years at Heidelberg Repatriation Centre to recover.
Yeah,
and but they were a beautiful couple. Never had any kids of their own, but they left all their money to Bear Cottage up in Sydney, where mothers could be with their sick children.
Yeah,
they were just beautiful people, you know, many millions, you know, because Smokey had a property called the Smokey Dawson Ranch.
Oh yes, I've
at
heard
Ingleside,
of that. Yeah.
I think it was about 48 acres. And you can imagine, you know, and he had it for a long time and eventually a school bought it. I remember him ringing me and saying, Graham, I'm ringing all my friends. We don't want you to be offended, but, you know, we're going to leave everything to this Bear Cottage. And I said, well, we've had a beautiful friendship, mate, and I would not expect anything. And I went and played it. They invited me to go and play it with the sick little kids with their oxygen tanks and had a great day. But the poor, and then Dottie rang me 6 months later and said, Graham, you know, they're all gone to heaven, you know. Those kids who sat around had a great day with you around the piano.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so their hearts were great, Smokey and Dot. Beautiful Australians.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, this is Summer Vinyl. I'm here with Graham Howie, one half of the Graham Howie brothers. Yep. Time's rolling on. We've got about 10 minutes left on the clock. So I want we've played one vinyl record.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Got away with that.
Good.
We've played a few CDs. But we've got to do something live.
Now. I've got the old guitar now. I'm going to hit a C chord. I cut my finger the other day. And there we go. There's the beautiful C chord, everyone.
Well, that's right.
That I'm going to sing.
This will be mostly a cappella, but there might be a little bit of a guitar sound.
Yeah, maybe,
as well,
to get me going.
See how you're going.
Yeah.
All right, you're an ideas man, Graham. What was your idea for this?
Well, I was lying in bed one night, John, and I thought I must have been dreaming about the Tasmanian footy club that's going to happen, you know, the Tasmanian Devils.
Tasmanian Devils.
And I think I started thinking, wouldn't it be great? You know, you hear these, like the Melbourne Footy Club and the Collingwood, they're all done to these old 1930s type 40s songs.
Public domain songs, and they change the words.
Yeah.
And
wouldn't it be great to have it to an Australian song? And I just was lying there and I think, click, go the shears. And I'm trying to imagine a whole lot of big, you know, footballers standing around after they've won a game singing.
That's right.
To click, go the shears. But
well, that's one of the prerequisites. It has to be able to be sung by, you know, 22 blokes or girls who probably can't sing.
So I got up the next morning and I started writing, and I've sent it to Brendan Gale, who's the CEO.
Yes.
And Brendan's been busy, of course, because, you know, the stadium's, they had the big drama about, is it going to have a roof? You've got to have a roof on it.
Well, he might be listening. So, he Brendan, if you're listening, because our signal certainly goes to the northern coast of Tasmania.
Oh, very good.
So if he's up there or if he's in Melbourne, have a listen to this.
Wouldn't it be great to have it to an Australian colonial anyway, so I've written this, and just imagine all the footballers, they've just played a game and they've won. The Tasmanian Devils have won. And they're standing around saying, are we the best? Yes, we're the best. Until we've won the premiership, we'll never rest. Like the Devils in the wild, we'll bring fear to every side. The Tassie Devils scream, you'll hear Australia wide. We're the Tassie Devils, the green and gold, like the convicts of old. We're strong and we're bold, so don't get in the way. We'll beat you every day. Win against the odds is the Tasmanian way. There's a second verse. From Hobart to Launceston and all parts of our isle, we will play to win and bring a smile to every dial. We don't mind the cold, the wind and the rain. The Tassie Devils scream, you'll hear when we win again. We're the Tassie Devils and we play to win. Our claws are sharp. We're devils with a grin, so don't get in our way. We'll beat you every day. The premiership is coming down Tasmania's way.
Yay! Khan the Bombers. Who do you bury for?
I bury for Melbourne. We won 23, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's right. 2023. Over in Perth.
Yeah, over in Perth, yeah. Don't know what sort of year we'll have this year. I'm happy that we've got, is it Melksham? The one from Collingwood. He's a good forward.
Yeah.
Can't think of his name.
It'll come back to us.
I think he'll be good. So anyway, it's only a game.
That's right. Thanks for playing that, coming in live, playing with a sore finger.
Yeah.
But I love it. I think it's great. It's a winner.
Good on you.
And you've came to you in a dream.
Came to me in a dream. I was watching a TV program. You know, yesterday, all our troubles. Yeah, Paul McCartney. Do you know that came to him in a dream?
No.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful melody.
It's a great melody. And he apparently got up the next morning and he sang it again. Yesterday, all my troubles. And he said, that's got to be, it's so good. It's got to be, I've pinched it from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it troubled him for quite a long time, but then he ran it past George Martin and the others, and they said, oh, no, oh, wow. It's a great song.
So do you do that? Do you write a song and you think, gee, that sounds familiar?
Yeah, I do.
Is it something else?
Yeah.
So my son does, and he'll often say, hey, listen to this, Dad. Does this sound like something else?
Yeah.
And there was one, and I sat on it for a week because I said, yeah, I know that. I know it.
Yeah, yeah.
And in a week's time, it came to me. I said, sounds a bit like such and such.
Yeah.
It sounded a bit like Radar Love. You remember that song?
Yeah.
But that's good because then he'll go away
and
he'll change it around a bit.
Yeah, that's right. I've done it. It's easy to be influenced by something you've heard, a week ago. And anyway,
of course.
It's all good.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all right.
Yeah.
Few minutes to go. We've probably got time for one more song. We could squeeze in a couple.
Yeah.
So I've got two things.
Have you got that Dunny Do song there?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
That's over here. Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll go with that. So tell us about that.
Well, this is off our latest album, our latest Howie Brothers album. The album's called Dunny Do, and the song we're going to play is called Dunny Do. And I got inspired to...
Is that the two of you on the front?
That's the two of us on the front. Identical twins. Can you see which one I am?
You don't look anything like each other now. Well, you're wearing glasses.
Yeah, that's right.
And your brother's, you're wearing a hat. I don't know if your hairline's the same as your brother's.
Yeah, no, has John got a hat on? Probably not.
No, he's got a bald head.
Yeah, refuses to wear a hat. the story behind this one is that we always, in the early days, we'd go up to Tamworth from Melbourne on the Newell Highway. So through Parks and Dubbo and all that sort of thing. And so one of the other musicians said to us, oh, why don't you go up through Cowra and Young, which they call the Inland Way, you know, where you don't go as far out west. And they said, it's a much more interesting drive. It's a bit up and down. You go through the where the orchards are around Young and Cowra, you know, the cherries and all that sort of thing. And we did, and we always stayed at Dunny Do. And then you'd have the last, say, 4 hours into Tamworth. And there's some great old pubs in Dunny Do. So I just dreamt up this song, about this young group that would be playing with toy pistols and all that sort of thing, as kids would do in gangs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What would, if they met up years later, wouldn't it be great, you know, to have a reunion of the ones they had in their gangs? So that's where I got the inspiration of this song. I dreamt it up.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, that's what we're going to finish up with. Yeah, so an original song by Graham Howie off the latest CD, which you'll find in op shops all over Melbourne. I must confess, I have found a few of your CDs in op shops. Yeah, but how many have you made? Made 50 albums?
About 50 albums, yeah. So
it's not surprising they turn
that's
up.
Right. So there's a few there. Yeah, but that's good. Yeah,
it is good. It means that they're circulating throughout the population and people listen to them.
We don't mind.
And then pass them on.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
So I pick up a lot of these things from there.
So do I.
Yeah. Anyway, that's good. So this is Dunny Do. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, John. I've loved it.
I've been dying to get you in and gives me an excuse to ask you all these personal questions and I can find out more about you, you see.
It's good. And the radio station's fantastic. I got a tour of the station. And
it's good.
All the various studios and where you can get a cuppa. And
So on your way home, you can listen to Let the Bands Play because that's the next show.
Oh, I'll be listening.
A lot of marching band stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
So I head down Hoddle Street, I'll be listening.
Yeah. So if anybody's interested in doing a music small group tour, what's your brother's company called?
I think they just punch in John Howie Music Tours and that gets them to, to the site.
Yeah, might do one myself one day.
Yeah.
Me and Mrs. All right, I better play this because we'll be in trouble. Yeah. And while it's playing, we'll just skedaddle out of the studio I think it's Murray coming in to let the bands play.
Good, good.
This one.
Dunny Do, Dunny Do. Your name makes a smile, Dunny Do. Dunny Do.